Good evening, everybody. Welcome. Who's here for the first time? Welcome, welcome, welcome. Did you enjoy the worship?
Yes.
Were you blessed? Then bless God back. Give him a hand. Come on. Amen. Brother Louis, you back?
Oh, yes. Amen.
There we go. And how was your week? Was it good? Amen. Did you testify? No. But you did testify this week. Ah, good, good. Praise God. Praise God. All right. You know that the Word of God says, without faith it is impossible to please God, right? Okay, let's just look at that scripture. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now let's just quickly throw something out there. There is a difference between faith and going to church. There is a difference between faith and reading your Bible. There is a difference between faith and giving money into the offering basket. And there is a big, 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 big difference between faith and acting religious. In this world today, we have a lot of people that are very, very religious. They speak the right way. They stand the right way. They sing the right way. But they have no faith. And let me tell you something, they do not please God. You've heard me say this before, but probably the most dangerous spirit that we have walking the face of this earth today is the religious spirit. Because he pats himself on the shoulder and he says, everything is fine. Look at how religious I am. But he has no faith and he does not please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now you see, here's the thing. Satan is very aware of this principle. How many of you would agree with me that it takes faith to cast out a demon? You know, there was a time when the disciples tried to cast out demons. There was a specific boy that had something that looked like epilepsy. And the disciples were trying to cast this demon out, and they could not get this demon to leave. And they came to Jesus. Actually, the father came to Jesus and said, Lord, Lord, please help my son, because he's got this demon and it gives him a hard time. And your disciples have tried to cast it out and they don't seem to have what it takes. Please help me. And Jesus said, well, if you have faith, all things are possible to them that believe. And the man said, Lord, then please help me with my unbelief, but just please help my child. Jesus went to the boy, he cast the demon out, and later on, when the disciples asked him, why couldn't we do it? He told them, because of your unbelief. And then he went on to say that this type only comes out through prayer and fasting. The prayer and fasting wasn't to sort out the demon, it was to sort out their unbelief and give them faith. Amen? In other words, faith is necessary to move in the power of the supernatural. Now let's ask this question, does God want us to move in the power of the supernatural?
Yes.
Listen, yeah, we serve a supernatural God. His kingdom is supernatural. Why would he not want us to move in the power of the supernatural? Who of you knows what it says in the book of Matthew, Mark, chapter 16, from verse 15 on? Do you know? Yes, what does it say there? All right. For those who believe in my name, these signs will follow. What are the signs that will follow when we are a disciple of Jesus Christ, a true disciple of Jesus Christ? We will cast out demons. We will heal the sick. We will speak with new tongues. Amen? All right. Does God want that to happen? Yes, because God says that these are the signs that will follow those that believe. Number one, in my name, I expect of them to cast out demons. I expect of them to lay their hands on the sick and they shall recover. They can speak in new tongues. Does God want us to live a supernatural life? Yes. He commands us in the Word of God to live a supernatural life. But here's the thing. It takes faith to live a supernatural life. And Jesus asked the question. He said, when I return to this earth, will I still find faith? Well, I'm going to let you answer it. Do you see a lot of faith in this world?
No.
Come on, let's listen. Yeah, you're allowed to say no. You're not going to offend God. Yeah, we're just stating the obvious. Do you see a lot of faith in this world? Do you see a lot of faith in this world? How many places can you go to where you know that you know that you know that the sick are going to get healed? You can count them on your one hand. How many places can you go to where you know that you know that you know that the demons are going to be cast out? There's not that many. Why? Well, you see, here's the thing. It takes faith. And you know what? Faith, like I said to you, is different from acting religious. Faith is different from standing there reading a Bible. Faith is different from giving a tithe or an offering or something like that. Faith is something of substance, and you can't fake it. You can fake religiosity, but you can't fake faith. Because faith is something that when you have it, it will manifest the power of God in your life. And let me tell you, there's somebody out there that doesn't like people of faith. Who's that? Well, you see, the devil doesn't like men of faith. The devil doesn't like women of faith. Because when he encounters men and women of faith, he gets put in his place. Quick. Because in the life of a man or a woman of faith, the anointing and the power of God flows and manifests. Amen? Jesus was a man of faith. In fact, the scripture says that upon Jesus Christ was the Spirit of God without measure. Where Jesus went, the blind eyes opened. Where Jesus went, the deaf ears heard. He walked on water. He turned water into wine. He multiplied food. Man, the list of stuff that Jesus did is endless. Why? Because Jesus had faith. And faith gives you the ability to override the natural through the supernatural. Somebody can't walk. In the supernatural, they can. And through faith, you can manifest what is in the supernatural upon the natural. Amen? That is the power of faith. Now, here's the thing. Satan doesn't like people that manifest their faith. Because when faith is manifest and the power of God is manifest and the kingdom of God comes, it gets people to rethink their life. And you see, Satan hates it when people get to a place that they rethink their life. He wants you to think you're fine. He wants you to think you're okay. You see, when we are confronted with signs, wonders, miracles, people being healed, demons coming out of people, we tend to take a step back and say, wow, what is this stuff? How does this stuff work? Sheesh. Maybe I'm not so lekker the way that I thought. Wow, maybe I do need to deal with some stuff. We've had many people come to these meetings and come and repent because of what they've seen happen to people. Do you think the devil likes that? No, he doesn't. Okay, that gets me to what I want to say to you. How does Satan nullify faith? Well, there's two words, doubt and unbelief. The two main weapons that Satan will use against men and women of faith is called doubt and unbelief. If he can get you to doubt, he will get you to renounce your faith. If he can get you to stop believing, you push your faith one side. And then you have no power. People that have no faith also have no power. Now, I don't know about you, but when you study the Word of God, when you read the Word of God, one thing is certain. Faith is important for God. Because the scripture says, Hebrews 11 verse 6, 6 verse 11, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Do you hear that? What is it that pleases God in my life? It's the fact that I either have faith or I don't have faith. And let me tell you something. You can fool people, but you can't fool God. You can fool people, but you can't fool the devil. Both God and Satan know whether you have faith or you don't have faith. And the more doubt you have in your life, the less faith you have. And the more unbelief manifests in your life, the less faith you have. And now you're not pleasing God. And that's no way to go forward. In fact, that's the way to go backwards. The scripture says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, that all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So the entire scripture was inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. Now let's talk about that. Where's my Bible? Let me just show you something. I want you to take a look at this Bible. Everything you need to know is in here. There is nothing outside of this book that you need to live a blessed, prosperous life. You can go running after other books. like The Secret, like The Power of Positive Thinking, etc., etc. And you know what? It's going to take you on a path away from faith. It will not increase your faith. It will decrease your faith because it will get you to focus on other things instead of what God says about your life and about how things work. Every word in this book was inspired by the Holy Spirit. Yes, I know it was written by men. But let's just throw this out there. If God can speak one word and bring everything into being, what makes you think he can't speak one word and make this man write whatever he wants him to write? Hello? Listen, yeah, my friend, God is God. Yes, Mr. Bean, even you. God wants to use you. God can use you because God is God. Now let's look at something. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And do you agree with me that God created the earth beautifully? Do we have a wonderful world that we are living in? Yes, we got some problems, but when you look at nature, nature is phenomenal, it's wonderful, it's fantastic. And that's the way God created it. He created it beautifully. And then he took this world and he gave it to who? He gave it to Adam. He said, everything that you see belongs to you. Rule over it, reign over it, and subdue it. In other words, take charge. I give everything to you. And then Satan looked at this thing and he said to himself, man, I don't like what's happening here because I'm down here and now man is in charge of me. I must make a plan. How did he make a plan? He made a plan through doubt. Because you see, here's what happened. God spoke to Adam and he said to him, everything belongs to you. You can do whatever you want. There's this one tree in the middle of the garden. Leave it alone. It's called the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat the fruit of it. Don't go near it. Don't mess with it. It's off limits. Everything else is yours. Have a ball. Enjoy yourself. So here comes Satan. Comes slithering up to the woman and he says to her, did God really say that you are not allowed to eat from the fruit of any of the trees in this garden? Is that what God said? No. So what is he trying to instill in the woman? Doubt. Why? Because Satan is not stupid. He understands that without faith it is impossible to please God, and the opposite of faith is doubt. So what does he need to do? He needs to destroy the faith that they have in God. But God spoke the word. This belongs to you. This is off limits. Satan wanted her to question the word of God, the spoken word of God. And guess what he did? He managed it. Because he took the word and he distorted it. He didn't change much. He changed one or two words, but that was enough to create doubt in her. And when she gave in to the doubt, she gave the power to Satan. This is the word of God, divinely inspired by the Holy Spirit. And if the word of God says it's pink, it's pink. Even if your mind tells you it's purple, it's still pink. I'm just giving you a stupid example. You see, this is how the devil works. He's going to use people. He's going to use churches. He's going to use evangelists. He'll use whoever he can to try and distort the word of God to break down our faith. Should we allow it? No. How do you protect your faith? By standing on the word. And when people want to come and preach you something or teach you something that is not biblical, that they cannot prove from a scriptural point of view, what should you do? You tell them, listen, yeah, there's the door. Cheers. We're not going to argue about this because I don't have to argue. You see, when it comes to this stuff, this is my stand. God's word says it, and that settles it, and that's good enough for me. You know, a relative of mine studied biblical archaeology. And the one day this person was sitting and they were like trying to tell me all the areas where they have now proven that the Bible can't be true, yeah, and the Bible can't be true there. And you know what? I looked at them and I said to them, please stop this. I don't want this conversation anymore. Yeah, but why not? This is so interesting. I say, no, that's not interesting. That's blasphemy. I don't care what they want to say they proved or they disproved. The fact of the matter is I have to put faith in the word. And I will not entertain no nonsense that is going to get me to begin to question the word of God. Because that will not please God. You might not like it about me, but that's just the way I am. If the Bible says it, then that's good enough for me. You want to believe something different? You're more than welcome to believe whatever you want. The Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. But if you want some good advice, some solid advice, if the Bible says it, that's what you believe. And be very, very careful when you come to places where you begin to question the validity of God's word, where you begin to say, oh, but it's not like this, and oh, but it's not like that. Ah, it's not that serious. No, the word of God is truth, divinely inspired by the Holy Spirit. And Satan still works the same way. Just like he came to the woman and he said, but maybe it's like this, or but maybe it's like that. So he still comes through people today. Sometimes he comes through preachers. Sometimes he comes through evangelists. Sometimes he comes through your third or fourth or fifth grade teacher that instills some doubt in you, questioning the word of God. And what we don't realize, the more we open ourselves up to this, the more we break down the faith that we have. And then one day when we need that faith to do something supernatural, that faith is gone. And then we blame God. Oh, but God, where were you for me? No, it's not that God wasn't there for you. You allowed your faith to fall by the wayside. It's okay, it's just a bet. Probably he heard there was some interesting things happening here and he came to see. Yeah, probably. No, my hair is short, I'm fine. I'm not going to have a problem there. All right. Well, hopefully he's going to find his way out. Amen. All right, let's forget about the bat for now. I know for the ladies that's going to be difficult, but just try. Let's get back to what we're talking about. The Bible says without faith it is impossible to please God. You need faith. Is there anybody in this place tonight that needs a miracle? Just wave at me if you need a miracle. Well, here's the thing. The key that you need to releasing that miracle is called faith. If you don't have faith, don't expect a miracle. And the more you allow doubt and the more you allow unbelief in your life and in your heart, the less the chances that you will ever have that miracle. You have to have faith. You have to believe. In the book of Matthew, chapter 13, verse 58, we read a passage where Jesus went into certain areas. And the Bible tells us that he could not do many miracles there because the people did not believe, because of unbelief. Now, unbelief and doubt, they sisters. The people doubted him. The people would not believe in him. And because the people would not believe in him, not because Jesus was incapable of doing a miracle, not because Jesus didn't want to do a miracle, Jesus wanted to do it for everybody. But they could not receive it because there was a problem with them. I want to ask you a question. How many people today ask God for miracles, but because there's a problem with them, they don't receive it and then they blame God for it? It's okay, he found a place to sit. Well, thank you, Lord. Here's the question again. How many of you that is here tonight is going to ask God for a miracle or trust God for healing or trust God to be delivered and you will not be? Not because God is incapable, because God is capable of anything. Not because God doesn't want to, because the Bible already tells us that he does. But because there's a problem with you and that problem is doubt and unbelief. And you know what? We live in a society today where people find it easier to believe in rubbish than to believe in God. We believe in the witch doctor. We believe in positive thinking. We believe in the new age. We believe in Reiki. We believe in calling up spirits. We believe in the stars, whatever the stars said. But we find it extremely difficult to believe in God. But you see, none of those things can do anything for you, but God can change your life. Through God, everything came into being. Through God, everything can be restored. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 3, verse 19, if you go and read that scripture, you will see that they're talking about the Israelites on their way to the promised land, and it says there that the reason why many of the Israelites did not see and live in the promised land was because of their unbelief. These were the people that received the promise of God. I will deliver you from Egypt. I will deliver you from slavery, and I will bring you into a land overflowing with milk and honey. They received the promise, and the promise was true, and the promise was accurate. But because of a problem with them, they never manifested the victory that brought them into the promised land. What was the problem with them? According to Hebrews chapter 3 verse 19, it was their unbelief that stopped them from receiving. So I want to ask you a question. How many promises have you received from God? How many times did God confirm through His word, maybe through His servants, that He wants to do good things for you, that a breakthrough is on its way, that victory is knocking at your door, yet it's years and years and years and years later and you still don't have it? Where's the problem? Well, you see, I don't know your life, but I want to tell you, in the Israelites' lives, the problem was called unbelief, which is also called doubt. And because they allowed these things in their hearts, even the promise of God, that is yes and amen, was not manifest because they allowed this to come and touch them. In the book of Genesis, chapter 15, verse 1 to 6, we see where God comes and speaks to Abraham. He speaks to Abraham about his life. He speaks to him about his descendants. And Abraham is like, Lord, how can I really be blessed? Because I have no descendants. And God says to him, no, you are going to have a descendant. I'm going to bless you and you will have a son. And your descendants will be like the stars. Your descendants will be like the sand of the sea. And then the Bible says, and Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. In other words, it was reckoned to him as faith. And that's why he's called the father of faith. Because you see, when God spoke to him, he was well advanced in his years. Rumor has it he could have been as much as 100 years old. Scary stuff. Yet here's the interesting thing about Abraham. Even though it sounded completely absurd, ludicrous, ridiculous even, he understood who was speaking to him. Does it make a difference who's speaking to you? You know what? If some homeless person on the edge of the street comes to you and says to you, listen, yeah, you're going to have $1 million by the end of this afternoon, probably you'll take it with a pinch of salt. If Donald Trump comes to you and he says the same thing, it's like, oh, wow. It makes a difference who it's coming from, doesn't it? Who was talking to him? God was talking to him. And you know what? He had respect for God. He understood who God was. He put God in that place. He's my provider. He's my healer. He's my redeemer. He's my deliverer. If he says it, if the creator of the heavens and the earth says it, it must come to pass. How did God create the heavens and the earth? By speaking. So if God speaks it, it will come to pass. Abraham said, my mind doesn't really think so, but my heart says, yes, this will come to pass. It was credited to him as righteousness, and he became the father of faith because he chose to believe what God says. And I can tell you something, when he went home and he told his, I don't know if he did, but let's just say arguably, he went home and he told a couple of his servants, what do you think happened? They all started laughing. They wanted to know, was he drinking or smoking something funny or weird? But the fact is, he wasn't. He had an experience with God and he put his faith in that. And then in the New Testament, we read of another guy, a guy by the name of Zechariah, who had a similar experience. He was also well advanced in his years. He was working in the temple, and one day he was working in the holy place, and wow, boom, an angel appeared out of nowhere. And the Bible says he knew that it was an angel because the fear of God started coming upon him because he knew he was talking to an angel. And the angel said to him, listen, yeah, calm down. I have good news for you. You will bear a son. You must call him John. Don't let him drink. And he gave him a whole bunch of things that he had to do. And then after the angel had spoken, Zechariah said to him, but sir, how will I know that this will actually happen? In other words, immediately after he received the promise directly from the heavens themselves, he turned around and he said, I doubt that this will happen. The angel looked at him and the angel said, from this day on, you will be mute. You will speak not another word because you did not believe the word of the Lord that was spoken to you today. And from that moment on, his mouth was locked. When he came out of the temple, everybody saw he was white as a sheet and he was shaking, and they knew that he had some experience, and they had to give him a piece of paper and he had to write to them what happened. What does that tell you about God and unbelief? God doesn't like unbelief. Because unbelief gives power to Satan. And unbelief robs you of the power and the blessing of God. Doubt and unbelief is destructive. Getting back to the Word of God. The Word of God is extremely important. Because Romans chapter 10 verse 17 tells us that faith, therefore, comes by hearing. And hearing comes through the Word of God. In other words, the more time we spend in the Word of God, the more we receive good biblical founded teachings on the Word of God, the higher our level of faith is going to grow. And that's why it's important for us to receive the Word of God and to put our faith in the Word of God, because the Word of God inside of our spirit begins to generate faith. But it's no use you listen to the Word of God today and tomorrow you go sit and talk to your friend who tells you this is rubbish, that'll never happen, this is not like that, that's not... Because now you begin to entertain doubt. I want to ask a question. Is it a sin to experience doubt? No. It's a sin to entertain doubt. Jesus himself experienced doubt when Satan came to him and said, if you are the Son of God... In other words, I doubt it. Tell these rocks to become bread. And Jesus didn't sin. The doubt came to him, but he rebuked it. He didn't entertain it. He didn't allow it to linger. He didn't get fixated on it. He rebuked it. And how did he rebuke it? He used the Word of God. Why? Because Satan has no answer for the Word of God. Amen? Amen. Satan has no answer for the Word of God. So tonight I want to talk to you about what's in your heart. You can lie to me, but you can't lie to God. You can lie to me, but you can't lie to the spirit of doubt and the spirit of unbelief that's messing with your mind and your heart right now. The more you allow doubt and the more you allow unbelief to mess with you, the less faith you have, the less the opportunity that God can do a miracle in your life. Because without faith, these things don't manifest. Jesus himself could not do miracles for people that had no faith. We were called to live a supernatural life. We are called to move in the power of the supernatural. That means that miracles should happen in our lives often. We should see healings. We should see the fire, the power of God come into any situation and bring change and restoration. Why not? Jesus never got stuck. Because Jesus walked in faith. But the problem that we sit with is, we get exposed to a lot of things that can create doubt and can create unbelief. And the devil is very busy. You know, if you're praying for something and it's taken 1 week, 2 weeks, a year or 2 years and you still haven't seen it, what comes and speaks to you? Doubt comes and says to you, oh, you know what, God doesn't work this way anymore. Now, God doesn't care about you. He's not going to do this. You're not good enough. Well, let's ask the question, what does the devil really know? He knows nothing. He knows nothing. He knows your past. And he can see your present. But he knows nothing about your future. You've heard me say this before, but I'm going to say it again. If the devil knew the future, he would not have slaughtered all the innocent children when Jesus was born. He would have gone straight to a little inn in Bethlehem. And he would have killed that one baby because that was all that needed to happen. But he did not know. In fact, Satan didn't even know when Jesus was born. Do you know how he found out? He found out when the wise men came and said, we saw a sign in the east. A king was born. And immediately he used Herod to get the information. Where was he born? Don't tell me Satan knows, because he doesn't. And you see, this is the thing. Your breakthrough could happen tomorrow. Amen. It can happen tonight. Amen. Satan doesn't know when it's going to happen. But can I tell you how he can take you out of the running? Doubt and unbelief. The more he allows doubt and unbelief, the more he attacks you with doubt and unbelief, the less the chance of you manifesting your victory, manifesting your miracle, or whatever it is that you're praying for. Why do things sometimes take time? There can be a lot of reasons, but let me just throw a couple out there. Sometimes you're not in the right place. You know, sometimes if God has to give you now what you're asking for, it will destroy you. And God is not in the business of destroying people. God is in the business of picking us up and raising us up and giving us a solid foundation that can be built on. Let me give you a very, I don't want to call it a stupid example, but just a plain example. Let's say some of you, yeah, you want to be used by God. Oh, Lord, I want to be used by you. I want to make a difference. Oh, Lord, give me the anointing and the power that is needed to raise the dead and to do signs and wonders and miracles. And I want to go to stadiums and I want to preach and I want to see the fire of God come down. That sounds wonderful, doesn't it? I mean, I would love to experience that. But have you heard that they say another level, another devil? Guess the size of the devil that's going to start messing with you when you move on that level. Because Satan doesn't want that. If you don't have the authority, if you don't have the anointing, if you don't have the power to deal with the things operating in that level, why should God give it to you if the devil will wipe the floor with you? Because that's what's going to happen. So what is going to happen is God is little by little, day by day, slowly but surely, equip you, teach you, train you, and build you up. So that one day when you do reach that level, you can sustain the victory in that level. Amen? Amen. Okay, so Rian, I want to be delivered of X, Y, Z. Why do some not get delivered? Well, firstly, because they don't have faith. Secondly, because of a lack of knowledge. The Bible says, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. And the Word of God also says, you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. You know, sometimes when we have no understanding of God's truth, we also can't be set free, because the two go hand in hand. Deliverance or freedom and the Word of God and the understanding of the Word of God and the principles of the kingdom of God go hand in hand. You know, I was speaking to my team earlier. Some people say, oh, you know what? When we get saved, everything should be sorted out in our life. I must give my life to Jesus. Everything must be fine. All my demons must be gone and I must have no spiritual problems. Does it work that way? Okay, let me give you an example. Jesus did not just go to everybody and say, confess your sin, confess your sin, confess your sin, confess your sin, and everything will be fine. He preached the Word of God. He allowed the truth to enter them, and then what did he do? He laid hands on the sick and he healed them and he cast out their demons. Just meeting Jesus did not bring deliverance. After they met Jesus, after they confessed their sins, after they did whatever, they still needed to be delivered. And Jesus said to the disciples, wherever you go, cast demons out of people. Why? Because just because you are saved doesn't mean that you are delivered. And sometimes you can't be delivered now because you don't even understand what you're doing is wrong. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And sometimes, you first have to prove yourself to God. The Bible says, if I find you faithful in the little things, I will give you the big things. What happens when a demon leaves a person? Okay. Here's what happens when a demon leaves a person. Jesus told us, when an evil spirit goes from a man, he goes through the barren, dry places, he seeks rest and he finds none. Then he says to himself, I will go back to the house where I came from. And when he goes back to that house, he finds it clean and empty and swept. And then he jumps back in, and the Bible says he takes seven other spirits more wicked than himself with him, and the end result of that person is worse than the first. So here's the thing. Before God will deliver you, he wants to know that you're strong enough to keep the rubbish out. Because if you're just going to allow it to come back, boom, like that, then God is not helping you. He's helping you into the pit. Is that the God we serve? No. God doesn't want to make your problems worse. God wants to work with you to make your problems better. There's a lot of people that want to be delivered from a lot of problems, but right now God can't deliver you. Why? Because you're not in a place that you could sustain victory. You don't have the knowledge. You don't have the faith. You don't have the anointing. You're going to have to just walk this road with God a little bit and start growing and becoming stronger. Does that make sense to you? And this is faith. This is the walk of faith that we have to walk. Your biggest enemy right now is doubt and unbelief. And doubt and unbelief messes with everybody. Nobody is exempt from it. Jesus was attacked with doubt and unbelief. You will be attacked with doubt and unbelief. Satan came to the woman, Eve, and he said to her, did God really say this? In other words, he came and he presented the gospel just in a slightly different way to create doubt. And guess what? She fell for it. And immediately Satan took power over her. The same is going to happen in your life. People are going to come to you and they're going to twist the gospel and they're going to turn things around. What are you going to do? Well, if you allow that to happen, Satan will give power over your life. There's only one way to deal with that. No. I only believe what the Bible says. Sorry, I'm not interested. I don't want to have this discussion with you anymore. This is what the Bible says. And you have to stand for what is right. You have to stand for the Word of God. You have to stand for the principles of the kingdom of God. Because if you don't, it's not counted to you as faith. Second Timothy 3:16. All scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. All scripture is God-breathed. The entire Word of God was breathed by the very breath of the Spirit of the living God. You need your life to change? Spend time in the Word. You need more anointing? Spend time in the Word. You need more power? Spend time in the Word. You need victory? Spend time in the Word. Why? Because the more time you spend there, the more your level of faith is going to grow. And be jealous of that faith that you have. Don't allow the things that can bring doubt and unbelief to come and touch you. Protect what you have, because what you have is precious. It's called faith. And it's the key to signs. It's the key to wonders. It's the key to miracles. It's the key to deliverance. It's the key to healing. It's faith. Amen.
Amen.
How many of you that is in this place believe that the enemy is afflicting you with doubt and unbelief? Come, be honest now. This is not a crime. It's a lot of you. So what do we have to do? It's time to put our foot down. It's time to say no. I don't care where the devil's messing with you. Doubt and unbelief can be conquered. They get conquered by faith. So here's what we're going to do tonight. Tonight we're going to make a declaration that we believe what the Word of God says. That we're willing to stand for what the Word of God stands for. And that we will not entertain lies from the evil one. And you know what? Maybe there's some people in your life right now that you shouldn't be hanging around with, because every time you hang around with them, they pull you down through doubt and unbelief. You can only help people that want to help themselves. You can't help people that don't want help. Unfortunately, that's true. Did the Lord speak to anybody today? Please give the Lord a big hand. All right. You know whether God spoke to you or not. You know whether you experienced these things tonight. Specifically, I want to pray for people for doubt and unbelief. We need to sort that out. Why? Because God wants your faith to grow. And doubt is like a cancer. It'll eat up your faith.